This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Hi, Gail. This is the monthly edition, bi-monthly edition of Talking Heads, where we talk politics here in Southwest Colorado and the Four Corners area. Today, we're talking with Will Furz, the district attorney for Montezuma County, and we're going to be speaking about the changing legal landscape as it relates to marijuana and the new laws on the books in Colorado. But first, these headlines, Gail.
Former Montezuma County Sheriff Gerald Wallace is questioning the use of law enforcement authority funds to pay for the lease of 18 new vehicles for the sheriff's office. The Law Enforcement Authority Fund was established in 2007 by voters and is collected from property taxes in the unincorporated parts of the county. In a letter to local media, Wallace said the fund was not intended to supplement the sheriff's general fund, but was earmarked for specific purposes. Those purposes included paying for more officers in rural areas and increasing salaries for certain deputies. On January 27th, the county commissioners agreed to allow Sheriff Dennis Spruill to use $800,000 from the fund for new vehicles. Mangustown residents were left without water starting Saturday morning after pumps failed at a water treatment plant. The Mangus Times reports that the breakdown forced the closure of schools, restaurants, and businesses. The town was providing local residents with potable water until a new pump could be installed. Three businesses were destroyed in a fire that broke out on Cortez's Main Street early Sunday morning. The Cortez Journal reports that 50 firefighters battled the blaze. Stewart's Flooring, Cortez Works, and Family Shoes and More were destroyed, but other businesses were saved. The cause of the fire is under investigation. And the Montezuma County Commissioners gave an icy reception to an idea for a new land use system in the Dolores River Valley that was brought before them on February 10th. County Planning and Zoning Chair Dennis Atwater told the commissioners that his group had recommended that the county be allowed to sell transferable development rights that weren't owned by any private landowners in the river valley. But Commissioner Keenan Ertel said the idea made the hair on his neck stand up and that he was not a bit interested in becoming a TDR banker. Commission Chair Steve Chappell likened planning and zoning's concerns about the general welfare of county residents to socialism. He then directed P&Z to come up with an alternative that was, quote, smaller and less, end quote.
Thanks, Gail. Today, we're going to continue our conversation with another law enforcement official. A couple weeks ago, we spoke with Sheriff Dennis Spruill here in Montezuma County, the sheriff, about the changing legal landscape around marijuana. New legislation went into effect on January 1st concerning marijuana in the state of Colorado, making it legal to possess and to use marijuana in the state of Colorado. Joining us here today to continue this conversation is Will Furz. He's the district attorney for Montezuma County. Will, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Gail, I'll let you start off with the first question of the day. What you got?
Well, there's so many possible topics. We were discussing this beforehand, but I mean, what special concerns do you have as a district attorney about the kind of legal questions that recreational marijuana raises? I mean, are there cases that it's going to be a difficult decision for you to decide whether to prosecute them?
The new laws with regard to marijuana haven't really changed the way we operate as a DA's office. Marijuana was never a huge legal concern as far as the severity of charges that could come with possession or even some cultivation. So our caseload, if you will, hasn't significantly diminished as a result of the amendment. But what concerns me is an issue related to public safety, and I think an issue that stems from the legality now of home grows. And I think that what we've seen in Colorado so far is the effects of amateurs engaging in dangerous operations at the home without prior experience, without safety equipment, and resulting in serious damage to their houses as well as the community at large. And so that part of the law concerns me more than some of the murkier legal issues that come out of the Amendment 64.
What do you mean by, first of all, home grow? I think that makes sense, homemade, home grow. What are the kind of things that could happen to a person or their property or neighbor's property in a home grow situation?
Well, the law allows a person to have 6 plants, and so people are setting up systems in their home that require large amounts of electricity, can generate large amounts of heat, and as a result can pose a serious fire risk. So as far as a home grow being a danger to our community, you see that when someone disregards code or safety protocol for housing such heat and electricity. So you see a lot of fires, you see a lot of damage coming from folks' houses that I would be concerned about and have concerns about here in Montezuma County.
If you've just joined us, this is the Morning Zine. It's Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope here with Gail Binkley. Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and we're talking about the changing landscape of the legal enforcement around legal landscape, that is, around marijuana, since the new laws in the state of Colorado went into effect on January 1st, 2014. Where would the DA's office get involved with something with this concern? I mean, it's if somebody has a fire and burns down their shed, isn't that's their deal, right?
Absolutely, and the DA's office isn't necessarily involved in attempting to prevent those types of situations. I bring that up as kind of a separate issue, but I do think that the legality of marijuana through Amendment 64 affects law enforcement's ability to prevent those types of situations because of their limitations on communicating or questioning folks about marijuana. Because it's legal, there is no longer a legal reason to speak with someone or kind of interrogate them in ways that they used to be able to do when marijuana was prohibited.
What are some of the concerns that you have, if you do have concerns, about enforcing laws relating to impaired driving?
The laws related to impaired driving have not largely changed as a consequence of Amendment 64. So I do not believe that there is an increased threat of driving under the influence, or I do not believe that law enforcement is less capable of enforcing laws against drunk driving or drugged driving as a consequence of Amendment 64. We have trained officers in Montezuma County and Dolores counties who are able to articulate in a report when they see someone driving impaired, and they are able to use the same types of field sobriety training that they were taught prior to this amendment. So my concerns with regard to DUIs are not so present with this new amendment.
And when you say field sobriety, you mean across the board field sobriety? There was field sobriety testing for marijuana, for THC, for narcotics, for alcohol, certainly long before this bill was passed.
Absolutely.
Amendment 64.
Absolutely. By and large, most DUIs are alcohol related, and the field sobriety tests that are trained to officers largely incorporate alcohol as the intoxicating agent. That being said, they have always been trained as to how to identify indicia of intoxication related to methamphetamine, related to speed, related to marijuana.
Do you anticipate, or have you seen, and I think it's only been 6 weeks yet, but any increase in impaired driving related to marijuana since, you know, January 1st?
I think the potential's there when you have localities permitting the retail operations for marijuana. And I think that there's a risk of an increase of DUIs if stores begin to open around the state and around the area, and folks from either out of state or even locally are tempted to use marijuana right after its purchase, on the way home, things like that. So I do think there's some potential for an increased occurrence of DUIs coming from the retail implementation of Amendment 64.
Well, that kind of brings up a corollary question, I guess. As I understand it, right at the moment, the closest place you can buy recreational marijuana is Telluride. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. So, hypothetically, someone goes up to Telluride. I mean, is it a better situation if a Cortez resident goes to Telluride and then drives home with this marijuana, or if they were able to buy it in Cortez? I know the city council is going to have to consider whether they want stores like that here. I mean, would it be better for them to have it here, or would it be better for them to go to Cortez or go to Telluride, buy it, then maybe be tempted to, you know, drive home over the pass?
Right, and that's a great question. I think that question is going to be on the minds, as you've mentioned, of our city council members, of our county commissioners, when faced with the opportunity to establish a retail market here in Cortez. And I think the potential for someone to drive to Telluride, smoke marijuana, and come back to Cortez, endangering the public along the way, is one of several factors that should be considered. We have factors that include public safety as well as the opportunity for public finance as well. And so I think those questions are ones that are not easily answered by me, and certainly ones that will be contemplated by our local legislators.
We're going to take a short break. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope here with Gail Binkley, and we're speaking with Will Furz, who is the Montezuma County District Attorney, and we're talking about the changing legal landscape as it relates to marijuana, which is now legal in certain amounts to carry in the state of Colorado. We'll be back after this short break. Stay with us. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and twice a month we join you here on KSJD on the Wednesday morning scene to talk about local politics and issues of import here in the Four Corners area. Today we're talking about the changing legal landscape as it relates to marijuana here in Colorado. It's now legal to carry certain amounts of marijuana and to smoke marijuana. And our guest today is the district attorney for Montezuma County, Will Furz. Gail?
Well, I know from reading a lot of police incident reports that in the past there were many times people would stop someone for driving and, you know, having some violation, and they might see a joint in their car, and of course it wasn't legal to have it. Now it is. How do things change around, you know, search and seizure questions because of this new legal landscape?
Sure, that's a great question. And I think when considering that question, I want you to analogize marijuana with alcohol now. So replace that in your head. So if a law enforcement officer were to see an open container in your car, is that in itself probable cause for DUI or to search the vehicle? And the answer to that question is no. It's really not, absent other indicia of intoxication or kind of corroborating evidence. Same with a joint. If a officer pulls someone over and they see a joint or a bag of marijuana, unless it's clearly larger than the amount that you're allowed to carry, they do not then have probable cause to search the vehicle or arrest the occupants. So while it complicates some of the issues that law enforcement is encountering, they are largely used to these kinds of difficulties or issues because they're so similar to alcohol. And that's how I will often analogize the two, is if the person's over 21 and you see marijuana, treat it just like alcohol.
If I recall my conversation with Sheriff Spruill, though, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the idea of, if you're going to carry marijuana, it's probably safest to put it in the trunk. And that around the state, that's also been with law enforcement. It's saying that that's probably a good place to go ahead and leave your pot, because there seems to be some gray area for some law enforcement departments. And I think I had the sense, and please don't quote me on this, but I had the sense that we were in that conversation, that was still a gray area in Montezuma County, that if, you know, I guess we didn't talk about probable cause, or if somebody was showing intoxication or level of being under the influence of THC. And what you seem to be saying is it's probably not a big deal to have, you know, the right a low amount of pot in your car that's visible if one gets pulled over.
Well, I'm not suggesting that's a good idea. I'm breaking things down more in a kind of legal, factual, hypothetical. Okay. And I think that it's important for law enforcement and for everyone to recognize that the legislature has determined that marijuana for those over 21 is legal with limitations. And the old paradigm of marijuana being per se illegal and therefore contributing to probable cause and your arrest is no longer the status quo. And that's a very difficult thing for many law enforcement officers who've been practicing in the field for a long time to get their head around. And it's for good reason that people are struggling with the implementation of this amendment based upon their decades of law enforcement experience. And so I do not fault them for having those old thoughts on marijuana. And we work closely with all law enforcement agencies, including the Sheriff's Department, the Mancos Marshal, Cortez Police Department, Dolores County Sheriff's Office. We have sent out what I call a cheat sheet or a frequently asked question sheet that helps law enforcement accept and get their head around this new paradigm.
If you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope here with Gail Binkley. It's the Wednesday morning zine, and this morning we're joined by Will Furz, who's the Montezuma County District Attorney. We're talking about the changing legal landscape as it relates to the legality of marijuana in the state of Colorado. Will, is there a I'm wondering, with your colleagues in law enforcement at the district attorney level, are things fairly fluid at this time around how you intend to prosecute, how you intend to not prosecute, and you, and I mean your colleagues, is there a consensus developing that you're sort of watching, or are things in place and this is what we can expect?
I think that the legal landscape is shifting, and so that the DA's office and its work with law enforcement is having to change on a dime to adapt to these laws.
Is that hard to do? Yeah, for you and your colleagues, you on the prosecuting side, and then of course the law enforcement officers. Does that present its own challenges to change on a dime?
Well, based upon the number of cases that we have dealing with marijuana for those over 21, it's not a huge obstacle because it really doesn't affect my day-to-day caseload as much as some might think. Mm-hmm. And because possession of up to an ounce of marijuana has historically been a petty offense in this state, the state has historically told its residents that marijuana is not a priority, is not as high of a priority as other crimes. And so we have been familiar with that lack of importance and lack of severity that marijuana possession has traditionally brought. And so for me as a prosecutor, it's not terribly difficult. What is more challenging is conveying what we understand in legalese to our folks in law enforcement so that they, in the course of their duties, can be in line with the laws. And that takes some communication, and that does take some work.
Do you have any concerns about the part of the law or, I guess the clarity about whether you can, where you can consume marijuana? It's not supposed to be smoked in public, but then there's certainly some gray areas about people's front porches or if they're sitting in their big picture window smoking away. How do you deal with those?
Right. That's another great question. We were somewhat waiting on a task force that was meeting to provide some clarity as to what openly and in public means. And the law states that you cannot smoke or consume marijuana openly and in public or in a way that endangers others. And that is going to be interpreted on a case-by-case basis. I don't have a bright line determination as to what I consider public. But I can tell you that in my opinion, the sanctity of your home is one that's reflected in our Constitution, and what you do in your home will largely be considered a private area.
What about that second clause, which is safety? Is there a brighter line there when it says the safety of others?
That's an interesting topic, and I say that because we don't have laws on our books that would prevent you from smoking cigarettes in a closed car with your infant child.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the marijuana statute or marijuana amendment incorporates language that where that could be illegal to smoke next to your infant child in an enclosed manner. And so that, to me, has far greater implications than the language openly and in public. And I believe that when your actions detrimentally affect the life and liberty of someone else, that's when government intervention is truly needed. And that's part of that law that I would look at differently than the language of openly and in public.
So if I'm having a beer and my kid is sitting next to me, they're not going to have a beer with, you know. But if I'm smoking a cigarette or, in this case, a marijuana cigarette, you have to look at that in a different way because it would be like sharing a beer with a minor?
I would analogize the two, yes. And I think that we have laws that are both criminal and civil with regard to putting your child or a minor person in danger, be it through shared alcohol use or secondhand marijuana smoke.
Now, are there special concerns about marijuana edibles then? Supposedly, you know, if someone has some of these, you can get it in candies, lemonade, that kind of thing. You have them in your home. Your kid gets a hold of them. Is this something you would prosecute?
You know, again, all these are going to be based on the specific parts of each case. But again, analogizing this with alcohol, if you leave a six-pack of beer in your refrigerator and your 15-year-old son has access to the refrigerator, are you criminally liable for that? And I would say no. That is your decision as a parent. And if the minor child then consumes that alcohol, that is a crime that they've committed. And there might be some civil consequences if you are having a household that kind of activity is promoted or things like that. But I think it's going to be on a case-by-case basis. And the edible part of the marijuana consumption is a dangerous one because many products are not clearly labeled as marijuana. Many folks who do their own baking will not label them in a way that young children would even know what they're consuming. And so I do think that we're going to see cases like that sometime down the line, and they will be evaluated, you know, on a case-by-case basis.
When you think about the impact long-term on your office, a small office in a small county, in a rural place far from resources, do you think in the short term or even medium term that your resources are going to be impacted based on this new law in a way that is going to stretch you in your office?
No, I don't think this law affects my resources. I do think that this law bolsters the idea that we need to focus our money and focus our attention on rehabilitative efforts that are alternatives to incarceration. And I think that if someone is struggling with a marijuana issue or a methamphetamine addiction, then the answers will largely lie in putting money into rehabilitation. And that's a decision that I'm not able to make, and that doesn't affect my organization. But as far as Amendment 64 affecting my resources, I don't see it having an impact.
You have alcohol, good old standby, marijuana, prescription pills, meth, other kinds of drugs. Where is marijuana as far as a concern, just in your mind, as a social concern in Montezuma and Dolores counties? Where does it rank among those others?
Well, I think that it is a sneaky drug because our youth is getting the impression that because it's legal, it's okay. And you hear that in our schools everywhere, that because it's now a legal drug, it's okay for the 12-year-old to start smoking it. And so I think that while we don't see the kinds of dramatic consequences that we see with methamphetamine, we're going to see a real difference in attitudes that young people have toward drugs at large. And I think that's going to be something that our schools and that our churches and that our dinner tables are going to have to deal with on a far more deliberate level to, I think, change those attitudes so that just because something's legal does not make it a good thing for your body and a good thing for yourself. And that's where I think my concerns are fall in with the Amendment 64.
And does that apply to alcohol, too? I mean,
sure.
Is that message out there
sure.
as well?
And absolutely. I believe that just because something's legal does not make it a good thing to do. And I largely believe that the responsibility to educate young people about those perils falls in the hands of our parents, of our communities, of our schools, churches, things like that, and that the government should be really the last avenue for relief.
If you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads. Jeff Pope here with Gail Binkley. She's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and we're speaking to Will Furz, who's the Montezuma County District Attorney. Will, Montezuma County is a complicated place in that it's a border community. It borders three other counties, Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah, as well as two sovereign nations. With Amendment 64, are there considerations that are different than before January 1st of this year because of the amendment and those relationships and our borders?
We do have very unique issues that come with being a border town, and we do see a fair amount of drug running as a consequence of being close to some of those states, some of those higher risk areas, and that the retail market, whether or not Montezuma County chooses to implement those, I think is going to impact our community, and will there see an increase in what some are calling marijuana tourism, or we won't. And I think that those issues, again, are going to be dealt with by our city council, by our county commissioners, and will have a real impact on our area, considering what you've noted, that we are a border county.
And this concept of tourism, when we say that word, that's generally a pretty feel-good word around here. That's the basis of our economy. If we were to continue, and one of the things about, one of the reasons we... Let's just take the Olympics, for example. It's unclear to people who are living, that may travel outside of Sochi, what the rules are, what their safety would be, etc. And so coming to Southwest Colorado and to the United States in general, you're pretty safe. You know what the rules are. You know what they're going to be. Someone here who wants to come and pursue recreational marijuana as a tourism, quote-unquote, kind of activity, how will the county, Montezuma County, if it takes this up, telegraph that here are the rules, here are the regulations, and as long as you stay within these guidelines, you're in good shape, and then make that a welcoming, piece of business for us, piece of tourism.
Right.
And I'm operating in hypotheticals here.
Sure. The amendment already treats residents of Colorado differently than non-residents as far as what you can purchase and what you can possess.
I see.
So that in itself is a way that the law, broadly implemented on the state level, has dealt with some of these tourism concerns. I think that this is a real opportunity for the locality here in Montezuma County or the city of Cortez to tailor this law to our needs as a county and as a city. And there are no restrictions. Just because marijuana is legal under Amendment 64 for those over 21 does not mean that public buildings, schools, private business owners can exclude users or exclude the possession of marijuana. Folks can more narrowly tailor their needs and restrictions to how they see fit. And I think that for Cortez and Montezuma County to do likewise and to figure out what is best for the community and have, for example, a clear set of rules and policies posted on any retail organization that might be developed, or determine what could be best for the community in the form of education and make that a local law. I think that local government is far better than greater, certainly federal government, and I think that it's a real opportunity for us to figure out what's best and implement laws accordingly here on the local level.
I want to thank you, Will, for coming in. That's Will Furst. He's the district attorney for Montezuma County, and we've been talking about the changing legal landscape for marijuana and marijuana. Marijuana is a legal entity or legal substance in Colorado with the passage and enactment of Amendment 64. Here with Gail Binkley. Gail, thanks for coming in today.
Sure.
And we'll see you next week. This has been Talking Heads. Stay tuned to KSJD for all your news, information, and entertainment.